Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
I got to tell you that you guys are awesome. Like, legit. Like, you don't have to follow me on Instagram. This is not like a plug for it. But every week on Instagram, I do this fun little thing where I declare who is the hottest service of the day. And I do it to try to help, you know, well, people love it. People love it more that don't go to our church than people that do go to our church. If I ever skip it, someone that doesn't go to our church say, hey, I've been on Instagram waiting to hear who had the hottest service of the day. Where was it? And I was like, why do you care? You don't even go to our church. But every week I do this thing, and I just want to tell you that there are people who literally get frustrated because more weeks than not, the 8:30 service is the hottest service of the day. Man. You guys are awesome. Showed up early, like when we started, there were people in the seats. You were singing loud. Keep it up. It is incredibly awesome. So glad that you guys are here. And today we are continuing our series entitled Lyrically Speaking. And this series, we look at lyrics to a song and see how it can point us back to scriptures and ultimately back to God. And I want to give a friendly reminder to you in case you weren't here last week or just that you forgot, that the final week of this series, the song that we are doing is being decided by you. So you have an opportunity to vote. There are 4 song options. And I know Eric talked about the QR code, but the way to get there, the easiest way, is open your phone to the pictures and scan the QR code song, and one of the options will come up, lyrically speaking, and you can vote for one of the 4 songs, one of the 4 songs to pick. And so that will happen the very last week. So next week is the final week that you can, we have 2 more weeks that you can vote. But don't put it off. If you want your song to win, make sure that you vote and make sure you take a chance to do that before the day ends. Well, today's song came out in 2021. That's this year. And it is somewhat of a surprise because the artist released a full album in 2020. And typically, when artists release an album, they go about 2 to 3 years between albums. But because of the pandemic and because artists couldn't tour, there were a handful of key artists, like really big popular artists, who came out with multiple albums in back-to-back years. And today's song is the 4th single of the album entitled Justice. Last week, we featured a song from the 70s, and if you love that song, you may not be as familiar with this song, and that's okay. Come back next week, there will be a new song if you don't know this one. But this is an incredibly popular song by a very relevant and popular artist. And ultimately, this song is going to point us back to Jesus. So without further ado, would you put your hands together for the Next Level Band as they did a creative version of Justin Bieber's Hold On.
No, you can call me if you need someone. I'll pick up the pieces when you come undone. Painting stars up on your ceiling, cause you wish that you could find somebody. Yeah, you know you can call me if you need someone. I need you to hold on. Heaven is a place not too far. In a place unknown, is not too far away. We all know I should be the one to say we all make mistakes. Take my hand and hold on. Tell me everything that you need to say. Cause I know how it feels to be someone. Yeah, it feels to be someone who loses the midnight to morning. Call if you need somebody. I will be there for you. Oh, yeah, midnight to morning. Call if you need somebody. I will be there for you. Oh, yeah, midnight to morning. Call if you need somebody. I will be there for you. Midnight to morning. If you need somebody, I will be there for you.
Man, I don't know about you, but I am incredibly thankful for the talented musicians and singers that we have at Next Level Church. We have like real quality musicians, and that's not something that you see at every church, and I'm not trying to compete with other churches, but especially a church our size, to have the level of talent that we have, I just hope that you guys don't take that for granted. It's pretty amazing. Would you help me thank the Next Level Band again for all they do? All right, we want to look at some of those lyrics from Justin Bieber. The song starts off by saying, "You know you can call me if you need someone. I'll pick up the pieces if you come undone. Painting stars on your ceiling because you wish that you could find some feeling." Yeah. You know you can call me if you need someone. Now, there's not a lot of information about this song because it's so new. It literally has only been out for a handful of weeks. What we do know is that Justin Bieber wrote an album under the umbrella of redemption. Specifically, he went through a very difficult period in his life, and maybe if you followed his career or know about him, he got arrested and made multiple bad choices, and during that time, a lot of people left him or didn't want anything to do with him, but there was one person who ended up becoming his girlfriend and ultimately his wife, and not only did she stick by his side, but she continued to point him back to God. And he has said multiple times that the thing that brought him back to faith and back to God was his relationship with his now wife. And so if you listen to this song through that lens, you can see that redemption is all throughout the song. He talks about his own mistakes and how he has made mistakes himself. He, in fact, says, like, "You can call me if you need someone because I've been someone who's needed someone in dark times." He does have an interesting lyric in the first one, "Painting stars upon your ceiling because you wish you could find some feeling." I don't know why he wrote that. Like, I don't know if he, like, literally painted stars on the ceiling or if he was like, "I just need something to rhyme with feeling." What rhymes with feeling? Ceiling, painting stars. Like, when I think about friendship or I think about relationships, I don't think about painting stars on ceilings. I've personally never done that. Maybe you did. Maybe that's like a young teenager thing, like, sheesh. Like, maybe it's like painting stars on the ceiling. Maybe it's just something that, like, teenage, I don't know. I don't get this lyric, but the rest of the song has some really interesting and good lyrics for relationships, specifically friendship. Let's look at what he says next. He says, "I need you to hold on. Heaven is a place not too far away." Now, oftentimes in pop music, they'll talk about heaven being a place that is close to us, and they'll say that heaven is like a version of love. As Christians, we would actually agree with this lyric, and the reason that we would agree with this lyric is because Jesus told Christians to bring heaven to earth. He literally prayed it. That when you go and represent God somewhere, especially when you go into brokenness and you bring healing into brokenness, you represent Jesus. And there is hell all around us. And Christians are called to bring heaven into the hell, to bring heaven to earth. And when you love someone, specifically when you love someone who's down in their brokenness, when you love someone who is hurting, you are bringing heaven to them. You are representing heaven to them. He then says, "We all know I should be the one to say we all make mistakes." We all make mistakes. "Take my hand and hold on. Tell me everything that you need to say, because I know how it feels to be someone, feels to be someone who loses their way." There you can see this idea of redemption. He understands what it means to be a person who's lost their faith, who's lost their way, and had someone reach out and help pull him out of the darkness. There is another lyric that I want us to look at, because it's the one that really leads us to the main thing that we're going to talk about today. It's a part of the chorus that he says over and over again. And the lyric says, midnight till morning, call if you need somebody. I will be there for you. Midnight till morning, call if you need somebody. I will be there for you. This lyric caught my attention because something that we talk about often at Next Level Church, amongst the staffs, and I've said it in sermons, and it's just a phrase that we've kind of wrestled with and talked about that we think is really important, and it actually echoes this song lyric. I don't know if he's been listening to our podcast. Maybe he's been ripping off my sermons. I don't know. Just kidding. He doesn't have a fat clue who I am. But here is the question that we talk about. Here's the question we talk about. If your world fell apart at midnight, who would you call? If your world fell apart at midnight, who would you call? If your world fell apart, I hope that your world doesn't fall apart. But the fact is, we live in a broken world, and we all are going to go through these moments where it's like, oh my gosh, like, who do I call right now? There is brokenness. Maybe it's because of my own bad decisions. Maybe it's because of someone else's bad decision. Or maybe it's just something that was out of our control. Who would you call? Who would you call if your world fell apart at midnight? Now, ultimately, we don't know if the song Hold On was written for romantic relationships or friendships. He isn't explicit in that. We think that it's written to his wife, but I think the lyrics apply to friendship in a great way. It could apply to family. It could apply to a spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend. But I really think it applies to friendship, that when your world falls apart, who are the people that are going to stand by your side? When you're in a dark place, who are going to be the people that are going to hold on to you and help pull you out? And it actually echoes a scripture that is found in the Old Testament, and it's our theme scripture for today. We're going to look at a verse from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I know some of you are new to the church scene. Some of you have been in church for a long time, but you've never read and through the entire Bible. And I want to give a disclaimer about the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is not a book that you should just jump in without doing some research. If you just jump in like you would some other books, you're going to be very confused, because Ecclesiastes comes across as a little bit depressing. Like, over and over in the book, he says everything is meaningless. And if you don't do a little bit of context or understand what is going on, if you just jump in and say, hey, I'm looking for some warm fuzzies that point me to God, Ecclesiastes is not the book for you. We don't know who wrote Ecclesiastes for sure. The author of Ecclesiastes refers to himself as the teacher. And so it's someone who has an understanding of God, an understanding of the world, but we don't know specifically who it is. A lot of people have said that they think that the author of Ecclesiastes is a guy by the name of Solomon. And this makes a lot of sense, because Solomon was considered to be the wisest man ever to live, but he didn't follow through with wisdom. He ended up making some really bad decisions. And at the end of his life, some people think that he wrote Ecclesiastes, that he was looking back over his life, and he had lots of riches, he had lots of fame, he had lots of things that everyone says that we should want. And when he looks at all these things, he says they're just meaningless. Like, all this stuff that everyone fights for and strives for, it is meaningless. But I want to tell you, I would encourage you to read Ecclesiastes. It is a good book, but if you're like me and you just read a chapter at a time, like every day you read one chapter, you need to keep in mind that the ending of the book tells the purpose of the book. And you've got to get through all of Ecclesiastes to understand why he wrote it. And at the very end of the book, I'll give you a spoiler alert, he tells you what the point of the book is. And at the very end of the book, he says that life that is not centered on God is meaningless. And he takes us through all these other things of riches, and he takes us through fame and all these things that we often strive for. And he just says, all of it is meaningless unless you have God. And it is a powerful book. And we're going to look at something that he says in the midst of this book that is often quoted in Christian marriages. I've done multiple weddings where they use at least a portion of this verse or part of this verse. And I think it applies greatly to our earthly relationships. And so with that context being said, I want us to stand to honor the text. I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. And when we get to the reference, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, you'll see two dots between the 4 and the 9. And we like to have a little bit of fun. We just pump our fists and say dot, dot. And I want to invite you to do that nice and loud when we get to that part. Would you read it with me nice and loud? It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Ecclesiastes 4, dot, dot, 9 through 10. Man, you guys are so good. You know, some of the other services, I have to like twist their arm through the dot, dot. but not you guys. You guys got it. Will you pray with me now that we've read the text? God, we just thank you that you are a God who hears our prayers, that we're not alone, that we don't have to be alone, we don't have to feel alone, because you are with us. And so we just ask that you would speak to our hearts today, and that you would help us to do whatever you tell us to do. God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So friendship is something that is incredibly important to humans, and I think we all know this, but the older that we get, especially when people marry and then start to have kids, friendship is often something that goes to the back burner because we just can't juggle it all, and so we start to prioritize our spouse or prioritize kids, and friendship is often something that we don't think about until we need it. But friendship is something that is incredibly important, and it's really important for churches. According to research, 90% of people said that friendliness or facilities was a major factor when deciding where to attend a church. 90% said friendliness or facilities. Now, at Next Level, we're at a disadvantage because ain't nobody coming to our church because of our facilities. Like, literally, like, I've had people literally say, I didn't come to your church because I looked at the outside of it, but I saw all these young people walking in, and I was like, something doesn't match the outside of that building. No one is coming here because of the facilities, and we are working on that. If you've been at Next Level for a while, you know that we are saving up and raising money to build. We're going to extend this building, and we're going to redo the front of it to make it look nice and modern, and we're going to fix that problem. It's coming. I hope it's coming this year. I hope that we break ground this year. We are working towards that. And if you are a person who continues to get money coming in from stimulus checks and you're like, I don't know what to do with this, consider your church, because you could help us build a lot faster if you would give towards that. But our facility is not the thing that's going to draw anyone to come to the church. So we have to work extra hard at being friendly. And I just want to encourage you and challenge you a little bit. Would you take friendliness as your own mission, as something that you would do at church? Like, would you literally look around and say, okay, who are the people that don't come in with someone? Who are the people that sit alone? Who are the people that maybe have never been in a group? Who are the people that look like they are standing around and they don't know anyone? What if we were the friendliest church in the world? The reason this is important to me is that one day when we build the new building and we add on to this and people do come for the building, they're not going to stay for the building. What they're going to stay for is relationships. And we are the relationships that they will stay for, that we can connect them. According to research, out of 353 people interviewed about the first time they attended a new church, 311 mentioned the friendliness of the church. Out of 353, 311 said the friendliness of the church. Out of those same 353 people, 117 specifically mentioned greeters or welcome centers. So if you are a part of our first impressions and you help serve coffee, or you're out in the parking lot, or you're one of our greeters, or you're up at guest services, you matter. Your friendly face, like, it literally is things that people are looking for. And did you know that every single Sunday is someone's first Sunday at church? And there are Sundays where people come in and they don't know anyone. Literally, they don't know anyone. And we have an opportunity to say, hey, listen, we can be a friendly face for you. This is a place where you can come, you can belong, you can check things out. Did you know that most people choose whether or not they're going to come back for a second visit to a church within the first 10 minutes of visiting the church? That means, you know, I don't come up until about 30 minutes, 25, 30 minutes into the service. So whether they like me or not is not the gauge that they're taking their mind through. They're taking it through you. They're taking through what they see around here within the first 10 minutes. And there are lots of benefits to having friends, but did you know that there's actually health benefits? According to doctors, that there are some physical health benefits for having friends. The health benefits of friendship include, and this is all backed by research, this is not like made up, this is scientists and doctors and psychologists have confirmed this, that some health benefits for having friendship is, number one, a stronger immunity. That when you have healthy relationships, healthy friendships, it actually builds your immunity. I don't know how that works. Like, I thought immunity had nothing to do with other people, but apparently when you hang out with people and are like-minded and have deep friendships, it actually gives you a stronger immune system, and it causes anti-inflammatory responses that lead to quicker wound healing and reduce the risk of illness. Literally, friendship reduces the risk of illness. It reduces also cardiovascular disease, arthritis, and some cancers. Forget the treadmill. I'm getting more friends. Just kidding. Treadmill's also important. Number two, friendship also helps lower stress. Doctors show that when we hang out with like-minded friends, research shows that our stress level actually goes down. So if you're the type of person who says you're just always stressed, you have a hard time unwinding, and even doing things at the end of the day like surfing the internet or watching Netflix doesn't help you unwind or help you get rid of your stress, try friendship. That literally when you prioritize friends and you have a good time with friends, someone you can laugh with, it reduces your stress level. Number three is improve self-confidence. This was something that was interesting to me. Sometimes I think that people think that not everyone has insecurities, but can I tell you that everyone has their own insecurities? Everyone has some low self-confidence in some area of their life. And I first realized this when I was working out at the gym with this guy that had like muscles coming out of his earlobes. And when he talked, he had insecurity. And I'm like, dude, why do you have any insecurity? Like, you're ripped out of your mind. And he says, I'm ripped out of my mind because I have insecurity. I don't like the way that I look. All of us have some insecurities. All of us have a lack of self-confidence in some area. And research shows that when you have good friends, healthy friendship, it actually boosts your confidence. It actually helps you to try new things. It helps you to feel more confident in who you are when you have good friends. And the last one, number four, is increased happiness. Who couldn't use a little bit more happiness in their life? Like, who would say, you know what, I got enough happiness. I don't need any more happiness. Like, literally, it increases. Friendship increases your happiness. But this is important, and if you are taking notes, I would encourage you to write this down because this is so important. Research says that you can increase your happiness quotient by actively building friendships instead of waiting for them to come to you. The key thing for happiness with relationships is not sitting around and waiting for people to knock on your door and say, let's be friends. The happiness comes when you actively pursue a relationship with someone else, find a connection, and then are friends with them. Now, contrast that with the negative effects of loneliness. Research has shown the negative effects of loneliness. Loneliness can lead to anxiety, depression. It can increase mental disorders and increases the odds of an early death by 26%. Okay, let that sink in just for a second. If you were to tell me that if I did something like play the lottery, and if I played these numbers, it would increase my chances by 26%, I would do that. If you told me that I did something and it would increase my chances to die by 26%, I would not do that thing. And loneliness literally increases death by early death by 26%. The former Surgeon General of the United States said that the most prevalent health issue in the country is not cancer, heart disease, or obesity, it's isolation. Now, don't move past that too quickly. That literally there is an epidemic of friendship in the world that caused the Surgeon General to say, when he looks at America, when he looks at the issues in America, there are some real, like obesity is a real thing that we're concerned about, cancer, heart disease, those are all real problems. But when this former Surgeon General looked at America, said the number one health issue is none of these things, it is isolation and loneliness. The general survey found that the number of Americans with no close friends has tripled since 1985. Almost a quarter of Americans report having zero confidence or friends. Let me say that again. Almost a quarter of Americans report having zero confidence or friends. Confidants. If you're here today and you would say, you know what, well, that loneliness doesn't apply. Like, I got lots of friends. I can make it rain friends. I got friends all over the place. Like, if that's you, then I want to make sure that you don't miss this. The reason that you have friends, it is a gift from God that God has helped you develop, and you are not to be selfish and hold on to that friendship. You are, as a Christian, you are called then to return what you've been given. And so if you have lots of friendships, this is important because there's a lot of people that don't. And there's a lot of people that have no one to go to when their world falls apart. There's a lot of people who are struggling with isolation and loneliness. And it's leading to all sorts of issues like depression and anxiety. And there's all sorts of issues that are coming from it. And you literally could be bringing heaven to earth when you reach out to someone and say, hey, I noticed you. I care about you. I was thinking about you today and just wanted to say hello. If you have lots of friends, that is a great blessing to have. But don't sit here in this sermon and say, well, I don't need to apply any of this because I have lots of friends. No, you do, because if you have lots of friends, you are the answer to someone else's struggle. So going back to our featured song, Hold On, we know in life that it's easier to hold on when someone else is holding on to you. If you picture yourself holding on to the side of a cliff, and how long can you hold on before eventually you get tired and fall? But if you have someone else holding up your weight, holding you on, it just makes life a lot easier. And a lot of times, like I said, the reason that friendships suffer is that when humans get into dating and then marriage and then have kids, friendship goes to the back burner. So I want to ask the same question that I asked a few moments ago, but I want to change it. And this time I want to take family out of the equation. If family wasn't available and your world fell apart at 2 a.m., who would you call? If family wasn't available, if for some reason family's not close, not out of town, some of you can relate because some of you are military or some of you don't have a close relationship with your family. Some of you can relate to this right away, but there's others who live close to their family or their family's like right around. That's like, yeah, if my world fell apart, I'd call mom and dad. I'd call my brother. But if family's not available and your world did fall apart, who would you call? And I want to ask you another rhetorical question, and this one I think is even more important, especially for helping you develop strong relationships. Who can count on you when their world falls apart? Who can count on you when their world falls apart? If you have a list of people that you can call on, can they also call on you? If you don't have anyone that you think you could call on, if family wasn't available, well then who is it in your life? Be that friend to someone else. In fact, this is why one of our core values is you can't do life alone. And our answer to who would you call at 2 a.m. is this core value, that you weren't meant to wonder, what do I do if my world falls apart at 2 a.m.? What am I to do if I get a flat tire and I don't know how to change a flat tire? What am I to do if there's a problem with my kids and I don't know how to fix this problem? I don't know what to do. What do I do when I'm lonely? Who do I call? Those questions are all answered by the people that are in your life. You were not meant to do life alone. But the problem is our core value says you can't do life alone. And some people, especially introverts, push back on it and say, yes, I can. I can do life alone. Maybe we should change the core value to you shouldn't do life alone. Because you can do life alone, but the health effects and the negative effects on your body and on your mental state are literally debilitating. So you can do life alone, but why would anyone choose to do that? Look at our scripture, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Let's stop there just for a second. I don't know if any of you have the same gauge that I have in my mind, but before I do a task, I do this whole thing, like, is it going to be worth the effort? Like, I don't mind working hard, but if I don't get a benefit out of it, I'm not going to do it. Like, you weigh the pros and cons of, like, how hard is the effort versus what is the reward of it? And if it's lots of effort but no reward, I'm like, deuces, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do that. The scripture says that two are better than one because when you look at the return for your labor, it's worth it. Are relationships hard? Yes. Is it hard to prioritize friends? Yes. Is it hard to be in relationship with other people? Yes, because everybody is broken. It's hard work to have friends, but the labor is worth it. The author of Ecclesiastes goes on to say, if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. This is an essential part of friendship. That in order to have good friends, in order to have someone pick you up, you also have to be willing to pick other people up. And this is actually our big idea for today. I'd encourage you to take some notes or take a picture of this so you can remember it, think about it throughout the week. The big idea for today is be the type of friend you want to have. Be the type of friend you want to have. If you want to have friends that help you when you fall down, be the type of person that helps people when they fall down. If you want to be the type of friend that has people that can help you when you move and you don't have to do it by yourself, then be the type of friend that helps others move when they're moving. if you want to be the type of, if you want to have the type of friends that care about you and care about your needs and ask questions and are interested in you, be that friend. Don't wait for someone to be what you're not willing to be yourself. Be the type of friend you want to have. I love the quote by Zig Ziglar. He was a master wordsmith. Zig Ziglar said, "You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what they want." Literally, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people to get what they want. If you want more friends, be a better friend. If you want more support, give more support. And the byproduct of this is actually happiness, that when we give and we pursue friendship and we have meaningful relationships, it actually helps us, it raises our cortisone levels. It helps us actually to feel happiness. So we need to talk about what is a good friend, because if the challenge is to go out and make good friends, we need to know, okay, what does that look like? What does it look like to find a good friend? What does it look like for me to be a good friend? And this is hard because everyone defines friendship differently. A British publication once offered a prize for the best definition of a friend. And among the thousands of answers, the top definitions that they published were one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. I had to Google that word because I thought it was a typo. It's an actual word, inviolable. I-N-V-I-O-L-A-B-L-E. It's a real word. It's why I don't watch British television, because I can't understand what they're talking about. Speak American. Good grief. Another definition was one who understands our silence. That a good friend is one who understands our silence. Another definition was a volume of sympathy bound in cloth. Another one was watch the beats true for all time and never runs down. Okay, none of those won. They all were like featured, but the winning definition of friendship was a friend is one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. And I like that definition. In fact, that's what Justin Bieber is singing about in Hold On, that he's been the type of person when everyone left, someone held on to him. He's been the type of person who made really poor choices, and it scared everyone away. It caused other people to say, I don't want anything to do with him. But there was someone who was a friend. There was someone who stuck closer to him. When everyone else left him, there was someone that pointed him ultimately to God. And so I want to challenge you to think about, what is your definition of a friend, and what does it mean to be a friend? One thing that I think is helpful as you're thinking about friendship is Aristotle's three types of friendship. If you're not familiar with Aristotle, he's from the ancient world. He was a philosopher. You probably learned about him at some point in school. Aristotle defined friendship by three different types of friendship. And this is important because some of you are like me, and everyone you meet is a friend. And it leads to you being let down because you think someone is a friend when they're not really a friend. Just because someone is friendly doesn't mean they're your actual friend. There are three different categories, three different types of friends, according to Aristotle. Number one is friendship of utility. Those are friends that are convenient to your life. And we all have friends like this. This is probably the people that you work with. Hopefully they're friendly to you. You may have talk over lunch, or maybe you hang out and you laugh. But you're only friends with them because it's convenient. That if you change jobs, they're probably not coming with you. Or this might be people in your neighborhood. Like, hopefully they're friendly. Hopefully you're a good neighbor to them. They're good neighbors to you. And you'd say, yeah, we're friends. Of course we're friends. But if you move to another neighborhood, they're not going to stay in touch with you. These are people that are friendly to you, but they're not deep friends. They just loved you because you were convenient. You brought something to their life. The second type of friendship is friendship of pleasure. And those are friends who bring excitement to your life. Those are the friends that, like, you're bored on a Friday night and just randomly you're like, hey, let's go do something fun. This is the person you would text or call. These are the friends that you just have a good time with. The problem, though, is that these are not the friends that you go deep relationally with. These are typically not the friends that you call when your world falls apart. These are the friends you call when you need a distraction or you just want to have fun, that you are together because you enjoy a fun activity. You go to Busch Gardens together, or you go play cards together or darts or video games. This is someone that is fun and you're friendly, but as soon as the fun ends, the relationship ends. The third category is the one that we want to aim for, and we want to make sure that we have some people in our lives that fit this, and that is the friendship of the good. Friendship of the good is you value who that friend really is and not just what they can do for you. That a friendship of the good is not based off we're just in close proximity, or we work together, or we go to church together, or we were in a small group together. That a friendship of the good is based off morals and values. It is a deep friendship that says through hell and high water, we are going to be in relationship together. If you move, I'm not going to stop pursuing you. If we no longer see each other weekly, we're still friends. It's going to be a deep relationship that you can count on me if your world falls apart, and I can count on you if my world falls apart. And this is something that is so important, because oftentimes as humans, we stop at the first level, that we just have friends that are convenient. And then we wonder, when our world falls apart, why people aren't coming to our rescue. We've got to learn to be friends who are friends of the good, friends for the long haul, friends who say, I am there for you, I'm committed to you. Now, you can't be that friend to everyone. It's just impossible. It's okay to have some friends that are in the first two categories, and you just need to know, those are friends of convenience, those are friends that I just have fun with, like we're friendly, but those aren't my ride or dies. But you need to have someone in your life that you would say, this is a friendship of the good. This is someone that I'm going to be there for, and this is someone that's going to be there for me. And this is so important for Christians, because ultimately, as Christians, we are a model of what a great friendship is. And the reason we are a model of what a great friendship is because Jesus actually modeled friendship to us. Look at what Jesus said in John 15:13. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than someone would lay down his life for his friends. And what did Jesus do for us? Jesus laid down his life. The scriptures say that Jesus was a friend to sinners. Jesus wasn't just a friend because you could do something for him. You can do nothing for him. He has everything that he needs in this life. He is a friend to people who can't return the friendship, who can't do anything to benefit them, and yet he loves us so much that he laid down his life and he died for us. That's a good friend. Jesus is the ultimate friend. And I want to just get you to think about this just for a second. If Jesus doesn't love us because of just the pleasure, and he doesn't just love us because convenience, if Jesus is a friend of the good, I want to ask you, are you that same kind of friend back to Jesus? Because I'm convinced that the reason that often we don't have good earthly relationships is because we don't have a good relationship with Jesus. And it's not because Jesus isn't good, it's because oftentimes we don't prioritize him. Like, it's easy, because we know God loves us, we know Jesus loves us, it's easy for us to just kind of put that on the back burner. And isn't that what we do with faithful friends? We often say, I'm busy, but they'll be there when I'm no longer busy. I don't need them right now, but they'll be there eventually. We often put people onto the back burner. And if you've ever had a friend that you couldn't count on, or you've had a friend that didn't prioritize you, or you've had a friend who didn't value you the way that you valued them, then you can relate to Jesus, because Jesus is the ultimate friend, and yet often his own friends ignore him. Often his own friends don't prioritize him. And if you want to become a better friend, I'm convinced it starts with Jesus. Prioritize a relationship with Jesus. Prioritize, think about him. Think about his goodness. Think about how he has been good to you. And then give that to other people. So the question is, how do you develop a friendship with Jesus? Well, the way that you develop a friendship with Jesus is the same way that you develop a friendship with any human being. And that is, great friendships happen intentionally, not accidentally. If you see someone who has great friendships, it's because they are incredibly intentional. It's not accidental. By our nature, if we're not intentional, we will not prioritize the right things. Nobody gets in shape accidentally. No one gets out of debt accidentally. No one does anything great accidentally. It does take a little bit of effort, and great friendships happen intentionally, not accidentally. And that's why our big idea is so important. Our big idea is, be the type of friend that you want to have. Be the type of friend that you want to have. If you sit around and say, you know, I get bummed out that no one texts or calls me, well, be that friend that texts or calls. If you're the person that says, you know what, it just stinks that no one checks in with me, well, be intentional. Literally, I've put reminders in my phone to reach out to my friends. And this is going to be something that some of you are going to push back on. And you just say this, I don't like this, because you want to be spontaneous and you think friendship should be spontaneous. But can I just tell you that if you just wait for it to happen naturally, it may never happen. But if you want a great relationship, be intentional about it. Literally, call someone and say, hey, can we hang out? I like you. Would you go to lunch with me on a regular basis? Would you help me do this? I just want to hang out with you. I want to spend time with you. Just intentionally. What would happen if just once a week you put a reminder in your phone to reach out to your friends? And it's not because you wanted anything from them. You just wanted to send them a message and say, hey, I was thinking of you. Thanks for being a good friend. You would find that if you were intentional with just a few people, that you could answer that question so easily that if your world fell apart, you would know who you could count on, because there are people who count on you. But it comes when we are incredibly, incredibly intentional. Here's another way to be intentional, both with your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with other human beings. Another way to be intentional is to join a next level group. And here's something I want you to take note of. Next level group sign up begins May 16th. That's next Sunday. And so I would just like to encourage you to go into it saying, hey, I want to try to prioritize a group. Our summer semester is 7 weeks long, and just find a group that fits your needs. And if you can't find one, then come talk to us and help start one, do one. Be the type of friend. If you look around, you're like, none of those groups apply. Well, be the type of friend that you wish someone were to you. Start a group. Help us out with this. But May 16th is when group signups happen. But that takes us once again to our big idea, is to be the type of friend that you want to have. Be the type of friend that you want to have. When you joining a group is not the answer for friendship if you're not willing to be a friend. Just because you sign up for a group doesn't guarantee you're going to have friends. If you don't prioritize a group, you won't have people that prioritize you. But even if you're not interested in groups, the health benefits of friendship is so important. So would you at least take seriously today's win? And today's win is to be intentional with a friend and schedule a regular time to connect. Today's win is to be intentional with a friend and schedule a regular time to connect. What does this look like? Well, it looks like maybe once a month. Maybe that's all you can handle. Maybe your life is so busy that you can't hang out on a weekly basis or hourly, daily. But what if you just said once a month, we're going to get together and we're going to prioritize relationships and we're going to talk. Maybe it might mean once a week. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm telling you that if you want healthy, strong relationships, it doesn't happen accidentally. It happens when you prioritize it and you make it a part of your life. So be intentional. Here's a challenge for you. Find a friend and invite them to join a group with you when group signups start. Instead of joining a group by yourself, bring your friends with you. Say, hey, let's do this thing together. Let's meet weekly. You know why I love groups? Because it prioritizes hanging out with people that I like. If I don't do it, I forget. I get busy with other things. I waste time. But when I join a group, I know that every single week, at least once a week, I'm going to hang out with my friends. But I have other relationships. I have people who can't do groups, and I like them, and I care about them, so we meet. Sometimes it's once a month. Sometimes it's once a week. Sometimes it's for coffee. Sometimes it's for lunch. Sometimes it's in a book club. I don't read books unless I'm in a book club. So there's people that I want to hang out with where I've said, hey, listen, I would love to discuss a book with you. Would you meet with me once a week and just discuss this book? It's two birds, one stone. I get to read a book and we get to hang out. I don't know what the answer is for you, but I do know that the way forward is to be intentional. So would you be intentional with a friend and schedule a regular time to connect? And if you have a lot of friends, would you reach out to someone who doesn't? Would you return to them the love that Jesus has given you? Would you model to them what it means to be a good friend? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we thank you that you have modeled for us what it means to be a friend. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the ultimate friend and you modeled this by laying down your life for us. That God, you put us first, that you modeled for us what we are to do for others. And so we just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be great friends, not because we're great people, but because you're a great God. And so we ask God through the relationships that we form, that we would constantly be pointing people to you, that we would point people to heaven on earth through our relationships with each other. And God, ultimately, I ask that you would help us to be a people who love you, who love each other, and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.